Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sunshine Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, our first Friday of the new year to be with you. And real quick, before we get into things, I want to remind you tonight, as usual, you can find WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. Also tonight, you can find ULW Ladies Night, that being held in Trenton, Tennessee, featuring the STDs as well as Charlie Cruel. Tomorrow night, Supreme Wrestling, happening in Madison, Indiana. So make sure if you have wrestling near you, you can go support your local independent companies. I will be at the Gym Wars event being streamed on the Facebook and YouTube of Northwest Pro. It's a closed set, so no fans there, but you can enjoy it if you search out the Northwest Pro Facebook page or the Northwest Pro YouTube or Twitch, and you can watch a little bit of wrestling there out of Washington. And as we are waiting for our guest, QT, the Ladies Night featuring Charlie Cruel versus Mickey Knuckles, that should be a barn burner tonight. That's going to be a good one.
And I would like to go on record right now for the first time in Turnbuckle Turmoil and predict that Charlie Cruel will win in overtime. The first overtime match.
I don't
match
think there is overtime in wrestling.
You know, it's a new trend in wrestling, son. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it, overtime.
I have not. How would that work?
Well, I myself suggested this to Mr. Thompson. I mean, Mr. Rockefeller at BCW.
Gotcha.
Yes.
It looks like our guest has joined us, 2T. Let's bring him on right away. I've been very excited to have him. He is from the aforementioned Supreme Wrestling, as well as many other promotions. Cash Jackson, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Doing very well. And since it is your first time with us, we are going to start you out today with the first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
It was, it's hard to say. I've been following wrestling since, almost since birth with my grandfather. So, you know, I grew up watching, you know, the old WCW, NWA era of wrestling. So it's hard to pick one thing that got me into it.
When you were thinking of getting into the business yourself, did you have any type of background, like an amateur wrestling or weightlifting or drama or anything that was going to prepare you for what pro wrestling entails, or was pro wrestling sort of an entirely new thing for you?
Going into wrestling, I had a background of boxing, Aikido, and football only. But when I got in, I can say that it was a totally different feel. It was a different kind of training that I've ever been through.
Definitely, wrestling is different from pretty much everything, but having Aikido and boxing, I think, probably helped you out a little bit as far as conditioning. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that.
Now, for the fans that may not be aware, just yet. You are one of the premier cruiserweights in your area. You wrestle in a lot of cruiserweight divisions. Not that you can't step up with the heavyweights, but for fans of cruiserweight wrestling, I think you're going to be someone they want to get to know because they're going to be seeing a lot of you, I feel like. What do you think of the promotions where you wrestle that have the cruiserweight division? Do you think that helps you flourish? Do you think that it doesn't necessarily matter if you're in a cruiserweight division or not? How do you feel on it?
With me, it doesn't really matter because I'm always looking for, you know, the top competitor or top, you know, anything of the company. So, you know, the cruiserweight division, you know, heavyweight division, whatever it is, I'm ready for all of it.
And you've been wrestling for a while now, and especially wrestling in a cruiserweight division, which usually is a little faster paced and a little more chances taken, injuries do pop up. I know we all have them if we're in the business for any length of time. What are some of the injuries that you've had so far in your career?
So far, I've had a concussion, sprained ankle, did something to my shoulder. I don't know what it was. I didn't get checked out or anything. I just, you know, took a week off and then came back. So that and something happened with my lower back. Hit my tailbone on a dive, actually. And that's something else that I didn't get checked out. I just keep pushing.
I've had most of those as well. And the thing that is the most irritating to me would be the shoulder injuries. It seems to me that shoulder injuries are a little slow to heal, and once they do, they're more susceptible to future shoulder injuries. Is there anything that you had to change or alter wrestling to protect the shoulder, or do you not notice much of a difference from when it was first injured till now?
There is a big difference. I have to move a little slower when it comes to my shoulder now. But as much training as I've been doing, I've found ways to maneuver and, you know, kind of tweak to where I don't have to, you know, lift my shoulder straight up, or I don't have to, you know, move it a certain way. If I move it a certain way, I'll feel a little bit of pain, but if I just tweak it a little bit, I don't feel it as much.
Hopefully that continues to heal for you. I know shoulder injuries are just really annoying.
Very.
One of the things that wrestlers do, not only to compensate for an injury, but for several different reasons, is altering their diet and how they eat and what they eat. I know a lot of wrestlers are extremely strict with their diet and they don't deviate. Some wrestlers are a lot more loose with diets. Some people are always switching up the diets to try to maintain ring conditioning. Do you have any particular type of diet that you stick to, or do you worry too much about the diet at this point?
Actually, I don't stick with a diet, really. The biggest thing is after my day is over is when I eat. So I'll go through, you know, work, training, whatever, and come about 9, 10, sometimes 11 o'clock is when I eat a big meal.
Now, you talk about doing a lot of training, and that's also very important, especially after the last year or so that a lot of wrestlers endured where they had to put everything on hold for several weeks up to several months because of the condition of the world. did you alter the type of training you did in order to maintain ring readiness, or did you maintain what you were doing all along?
I kept going. With me, I feel like if I would have stopped, I probably would have lost a few steps, but I'm just always pretty much on go. I just have to keep going somehow, some way, whether it's, you know, studying, you know, old YouTube videos, or using my little brother for, you know, something that I want to learn to do or something like that. You know, I just got to kept going.
One of the things that wrestlers have been doing in the last several years to make ends meet, and a lot of times they're more successful with this end than actual wrestling itself, is merchandising. We see wrestlers take everything from T-shirts to hats to water bottles to coffee cups to shows to sell to the fans. How much of a merchandise game are you running at this point in your career?
Right now, I honestly need to start with the merchandise. That's one thing I've been kind of slacking on.
Well, I would personally buy a T-shirt once you had a T-shirt available, so you definitely need to work on that.
I'd be glad to send you one.
Absolutely. I look forward to wearing that. Now, one of the other things that you have done in your career is tag team wrestling. I know you've had a few different partners over the course of your career, held some tag team championships. A lot of wrestlers have a strong preference when it comes to tag teams and singles. I know you've been successful at both. Do you have a personal preference as far as that goes, or are you equally comfortable doing tags and singles?
It varies. It just really depends on how the match feels. I love my singles matches. I love to, you know, I feel like I help others out when I'm in the ring with them in a singles match. And in tag matches, it's a whole different ball game. It's different, but it's the same at the same time. It's hard to explain. So when it comes to preference, it's kind of hard to say. Because I love both. I feel like I'm always active in, you know, both settings. So that's a question I really can't answer. What a straightforward answer.
Well, that's good that you are fine with doing both. I know a lot of people have preferences, so the fact that you're open to both is a good thing for promoters and fans alike. Another thing, I don't know if you have done very much in your career, but it is popular with the fans for sure. Some wrestlers love it, some wrestlers hate it, that being the Battle Royal. I know a lot of shows tend to send out Battle Royals on a pretty regular basis. Do you have a preference as far as the Battle Royal match itself? Do you like or dislike them?
I like them. I've only been in two of them, but it was fun, honestly. Especially when, you know, your music plays and the fans know you, it brings a whole different energy to a Battle Royal or a Rumble. My first Rumble, I was in for an hour and 12 minutes, and it was like one of the greatest moments of my life.
That is a lot of ring time all in one shot. Well, we have a game we like to play on the show. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. And I would ask you a series of two choices, and the one that is your own personal preference is the answer. Would you be willing to play around and Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Yeah, I'm down for it.
All right. The first one, DDT or Pile Driver?
I love the DDT.
Tights or trunks?
Trunks.
Steel cage match or a chain match?
Steel cage.
Beef or chicken?
Chicken.
Motorcycle or motorboat?
Motorcycle.
Board game or video game?
Video game.
Lucha Underground or Wrestling Society X?
Lucha Underground.
Hip toss or drop toe hold?
Very underrated move. Drop toe hold.
The final one, pin or submission?
Submission.
All right. Well, that concludes that game. Now, one of the more underrated aspects in pro wrestling is the role of the referee. A lot of people don't understand exactly how much a good referee can help a match and how much a bad referee can hurt a match. I know you've been to a lot of places and have worked with quite a few referees. Who are some of the referees that are out there right now that you think deserve more recognition for being good at what they do?
Some of the referees that I've ran into, one of my favorite referees is Max Recon. I met him at a PPW show, and his energy is something that I feel a match needs to be, you know, good. Because the referee is one of the most important aspects of a match, like, hands down. So, like, I got Max, I have Sean, Sean O'Brien, it's quite a few referees that come to mind. Carlos at Supreme. The names and faces are not matching up in my head right now.
That's all right. That sometimes happens.
But the three that I named, though, they are... Oh, Daniel Spencer as well. I haven't known Daniel as long as I've known Sean and Max, but the times that I've been around him, he knows what he's doing. I have to applaud him.
Now, in the last few months here, you had a match, I believe maybe even a couple of matches against one of our former guests, who happens to be one of my favorite people to watch in wrestling, that being the Gift, Jason Kincaid. I know he relocated to Colorado for a few months, so there probably won't be a rematch anytime soon. But what did you think about wrestling Jason Kincaid?
that was an amazing experience. The psychology that man has, the know-how, the energy, it was just an amazing match. Jason is one of those guys who makes you think. You have to think outside the box when being in the ring with him. When you share a ring with him, you have to think outside the box because he's going to put your mind to the test. And that's something
I agree with you there. Absolutely. Very, very good at what he does. Now, speaking of putting your mind to the test, one of the roles in wrestling that a lot of people will gravitate towards is the booking job in wrestling. It's one of the more thankless jobs, but it's also one of the more important jobs. Have you ever considered getting into that aspect of the business?
Further down the line, yes.
So, talking like after your in-ring is done, or you think just a few more years of experience?
I want to get as much experience as I can before taking that route. Because I have it written down, you know, being a trainer and a booker are two of my top goals in the business. But I want to get that experience. You can never learn enough. So I want to learn as much as I can just to have a good foundation before I go that route.
Very, very smart on your part for sure. Well, at this time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know the QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to him.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Cash.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, not bad. Cash, I saw your YouTube video entitled Supreme with an exclamation mark, Cash Jackson versus Jason Kincaid. Was this the first time you had wrestled Jason Kincaid at Supreme?
Yes, it was. We had that match and then a rematch, and those are the first two times I've ever shared a ring with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Before your first match, did anyone supply you with video of him so you could try to analyze his weaknesses and his strengths?
I did not have any video of him. I didn't have any provided to me. I actually, while I was there, I got on YouTube and sat and studied. I got to the show maybe 3.5 hours early just so I could study a little bit of, you know, what he has.
Okay. So there was no kind of like twilight meeting on a park bench where you were in a trench coat and a hat to disguise yourself, and someone else came and sat on the opposite side of the bench and slipped you a package of photo of Jackson Kincaid. There was no kind of like spy versus spy meeting?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. When you were now I looked at this video, and when you were done greeting the fans after you made your entrance, you turned back toward the ring, and if you freeze the video at the 24-second mark, at 24 seconds, you can see a PV amplifier on the floor. In their early days, the pioneering punk rock group Bad Brains, And by being labeled a punk rock group, I don't like this term punk at all. The Bad Brains used a PV amplifier system. In the late 70s and early 80s, this all-black band blended a fusion of reggae, funk, and jazz, and so-called punk around the Washington, D.C. area, and were a major influence on the Beastie Boys and Henry Rollins of the group Black Flag. My question is, will you be the first wrestler for Supreme Wrestling to use this PV amplifier to blast out Bad Brains' signature song, Eye Against Eye, as your next entrance music?
You know what? I would do that.
Before I mention them, have you ever heard of Bad Brains, the late 70s and early 80s, the punk rock band out of Washington, D.C.?
I have not heard about them.
Oh, okay. Well, I would, before you do, you might want to go on YouTube and look at this all-black band. John Lydon of the Sex Pistols remembered seeing them on their only American tour in late 1977 and 78, and mentioned that they were very good. John Lydon himself of the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
So they come with a very good resume. So if you could look that up and get back to Sign Guy, if you do pick Eye Against Eye as your entrance music, we would appreciate that.
I'm actually looking it up as we speak.
Oh, huge. Okay. Well, now, this song, I believe, is about 4 minutes. Can we take this 4 minutes in a very rare looking homework assignment and see what you think? We'll take 4 minutes and let you listen to Eye Against Eye.
Okay.
Okay. This is huge.
I'm going to take a whistle.
Cass, what did you think?
The song is crazy in a great way.
Okay, very good.
A part of me feels like Jason used this song.
It's very rare that I currently, when I have talked to wrestlers in the Northwest, that they even know what the song "I Against I," who produced it, and 99% of the Northwest wrestlers have never heard of the Bad Brains.
I don't know. It just gave me that. It gave me that feel because I honestly don't remember Jason's song. You know, right offhand, it just. The song had me thinking, just like Jason did. Like, the structure of the song just is the energy, that part's hard to explain. It feels like a Jason Kincaid style of song, and I have no problem with having to think about anything. I like it. I do like the song.
Okay. Would you agree that they had a little bit more energy than Bob Marley? Slightly more energy.
I would give them a lot more energy.
Okay. Have you yourself ever used a Bob Marley song as an entrance music? Like stand up to the right? Maybe?
I have not used the Bob Marley song.
Oh, okay. Well, you might want to use the Bob Marley song "Get Up, Stand Up" for your entrance music as a trial run, and then expose them the next week against for Bad Brains Eye Against Eye. Give them 1-2 punch. You might want to do that. Okay. All right. Well, Cash, you also told Sign Guy earlier in the interview that you had a background in boxing. Many
Yes.
fans of boxing and historians are thrilled and do research on a series of on the subject of boxing trilogies. Examples would be Arturo Gatti versus Mickey Ward. In the 80s, there was a trio of matches between Sugar Ray Leonard versus Hands of Stone, Roberto Duran. And in the 70s, it was Frazier versus Ali. And recently, you had Marco Antonio Barrera versus Eric Morales. My question is, have you gone on YouTube and watched the Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray Leonard trio series?
I have not watched that one.
Oh, okay. Boy, talk about Roberto Duran being in his prime for the first match. That was very good. He threw Sugar Ray Leonard off his game plan. And speaking of game plans, when you come to the wrestling ring, are you more of a ground-based opponent, or do you immediately go to high-flying to throw off your opponent's game plan?
I'm ground game. Ever since my little incident, I've been mainly on the ground.
Oh, because of your shoulder?
My tailbone is what got me out of the air.
Okay. Now, Cash, do they make lightweight aluminum or titanium guards for the tailbone in sports? A tailbone guard.
That I don't know.
If you can look into this, and I don't believe there is a tail guard, but if there is, would you ever consider removing this tail guard and using it as a foreign object against an opponent?
I don't know.
What's the strangest or most recent foreign object that you yourself have pulled out of your trunks and used on an opponent? because we have one Northwest wrestler here that pulled out an athletic cup and put it over an opponent's mouth.
Wow.
Yes. What's your biggest foreign object? That's what I'm getting at.
I haven't had to pull anything out of the tights.
Oh, no. Okay.
I've been in a couple of, you know, no DQ matches or something like that, and, you know, all we use was what, kendo sticks, chairs, and tables, and a belt. That's about it. I mean, I'm not really a weapon user. My hands are pretty devastating.
Wow. Well, maybe someday someone will also call you Hands of Stone. Yes, if you take up boxing again, like Roberto Duran. That's what I hope. That'd be good. Okay. All right. Well, Cash, many people don't focus on boxers from the 40s and early 50s. Two of the greatest middleweights, or at least one of them, record-wise, they had a trio of fights. I'm talking about Tony Zale versus Rocky Graziano. And you have two of these fighters, their trio of matches is considered some of the greatest, along with a trio of matches that I mentioned earlier. Tony Zale and Rocky were complete opposites in personality. Rocky grew up on the mean streets of New York and often got into street fights as a juvenile. He spent time in reform school, and he was even charged with probation from this reform school and sent to Rikers Island. He enlisted in service in World War II, but he was charged with punching a captain, and he was thrown into jail at Fort Dix. He later went AWOL from Fort Dix as he escaped, and then he turned himself in and faced a military tribune. He then decided to skip this military tribune and not go to his hearing. He was then later dishonorably discharged from the Army, but they later reversed that decision, and he spent some time boxing in the Army. Tony Zale, by contrast, had an honorable military career in World War II, and he was 35 years old when he first met Rocky Graziano in their trio of matches. Tony Zale was raised in the steel town of Gary, Indiana, which gave him his name, Man of Steel. That, and his ability to take ferocious punishment and come back to win. He was known for his body punches and was a two-time middleweight champ. He made Ring Magazine's list of 100 greatest punchers. My question is, are you more in personality like Rocky Graziano or Tony Zale? That's what I'm getting at.
I'm going to go with how I came up. I was more like the punch the captain in the face.
Ooh, punch the captain in the face and then went to jail and then went AWOL. Very interesting. Okay. All right. Have you ever faced in the ring a person of temperament like Tony Zale, the All-American boy, grew up in Gary, Indiana? And it was Harrelson of...
Trying to think back on my matches. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. You can do some research on that. That's very good. All right. Okay. Well, Cash, I recently came across the newsletter Sportster, and they had a list of the top 10, this is in their opinion, WCW tag teams. At number 10, they listed the Fabulous Freebirds. The key members of the Fabulous Freebirds were Michael Hayes, Terry Gordy, and Buddy Roberts. At number 9, and they put these guys ahead of the Fabulous Freebirds, was the tag team of Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko. Now, as a part of the Dangerous Alliance, the Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko won a WCW tournament to win the tag team title by beating Rick Steiner and Bill Casimir. They held the belts for 75 days. But ranked ahead of Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko and the Fabulous Freebirds at number 8, they put Barry Windham and Dusty Rhodes. They held the belts for 58 days before losing the belts to Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. Now, would you, in hindsight, kind of agree with the Sportsters, number 10, number 9, and number 8 rankings?
I would have put the Fabulous Freebirds at number 8.
Oh, ahead of Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko, the Dangerous Alliance, and Barry Windham and Dusty Rhodes, huh?
Yes.
Wow, all right, okay. Did you ever hear of the song that Michael Hayes produced, Mean Street USA? Have you heard the song?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Well, I recommend you stick with Eye Against Eye of Bad Brains. Stick with that one. Okay. Well, now, Cash, in the Sportster, ahead of number 10, the Fabulous Freebirds, and the Dangerous Alliance, all the way up to number 4, they ranked the Hollywood Blondes, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. Now, this tag team beat Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas for the titles, and they lost it. They held it for 169 days until they lost it to Paul Roma and Arn Anderson. Would you agree with the number 4 ranking of Steve Austin and Brian Pillman?
I do agree. I agree because Austin, before the whole Attitude Era Austin, he was a phenomenal wrestler, technical wrestler. And then he had Brian Pillman right beside him, and that's it's not much that I can say bad about the tag team. I mean, that was two phenomenal wrestlers.
Yes, the Hollywood Blondes. At that time, I'm not quite sure they knew what they had in Steve Austin. I don't think.
I agree with that.
Now, later on down the line, how did you like Steve Austin's interaction with Kurt Angle and also Goldust? How did you like Steve Austin's interaction with both these wrestlers? Steve Austin's interaction with Goldust first.
It was bizarre. Goldust and Austin they're top tier guys in the business, and it's kind of hard to explain it.
Okay. Well, I think the only interaction I like better that with Steve Austin with another wrestler rather than Goldust was Goldust and Shelton Benjamin. That was a great interaction. Shelton Benjamin's mom and Goldust. It was very good.
I can't say I remember that one.
Oh, Well, you might want to look up Goldust and Shelton Benjamin's mom backstage. Very hilarious.
Let me see. Putting that up now.
Oh. Oh, okay. This is okay. Well, put it this way. Shelton Benjamin's mom is expecting a back rub from her son. But she doesn't quite get what she expects. Yes.
Oh, that one.
Yes. I'm afraid Goldust did a number on Shelton Benjamin's mother. And, of course, initially she was very shocked. But I think she started to warm up to Goldust. It's my opinion.
I agree. And that was 2006.
Yes, 2006. Okay. Well, Cash, now the Sportster, number 10, Fabulous Freebirds. Number 9, The Dangerous Alliance. Number 8, Barry Windham, Dusty Rhodes. Hollywood Blondes. Number 4, who was your favorite tag team of all time?
My favorite tag team of all time.
Yep.
I got kind of a toss up between 3 right now.
Okay.
I got the Rock and Roll Express. I got the Legion of Doom.
Oh, very good.
And I have, Power and Glory.
Ooh, Power and Glory. Okay, all right. Are there any women wrestlers in your area that you would like to tag with once the COVID-19 pandemic is over? Any women wrestlers?
Right now, there's one wrestler who's not in my area, but I've interacted with her. She's my big sister, pretty much. Her name is Ronnie Big Bang Nicole.
Oh, we've heard, Sign Guy and myself have heard of her. Ronnie Big Bang Nicole, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she's a great one.
Have you ever met the lady wrestler Andrea the Giantist?
I have not met her.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Cash, it's been good talking with you. I hope you do further homework assignments on the Bad Brains, the pioneering, and I hate to use that term, punk rock, because you can see all the elements of music in their videos. And I hope you blast their music out of that PV amplifier of that video that Sign Guy sent me. And at this moment, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy. Thank you, Cash.
Thank you.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, T. Well, Cash, here in 2021, as things start to open back up across the country and more places are allowing wrestling shows to happen, do you have your eyes on any particular area of the country that you have not been to for wrestling that you would most like to go to have a match?
I'm going to say everywhere. But on the indie circuit, I don't know. I just want to go there. I want to be everywhere. I want to make it to all 50 states.
That is a great goal to have, and hopefully you're able to hit that. I know some of them are a lot easier than others just because of logistics and the amount of shows happening, but not impossible by any means. Now, one of the states that has become red hot for wrestling, and it's a place not a lot of independent wrestlers think of, even though they do bring in some outside independent talent, is Alaska. Alaska has two or three promotions running right now, one of them bringing in a lot of legendary names from television that people know and supplementing it with locals. One of the other promotions is basically your standard local independent company. Is Alaska a place that you have spent a lot of time researching or watching the local scene, or is it not popped on the radar just yet?
It hasn't popped on the radar yet.
Well, it's definitely heating up, so I think you might want to move Alaska a little bit closer to the head of the line.
I'm gonna do some looking in on that.
Absolutely. I think you will be surprised. There's a lot of great talent there. They're doing a lot of good work up there. Well, we have one other game we like to play on the show. I think this is perfect for you. We call it Word Association, and I'll throw out the names of some wrestlers that most likely you have come into contact with in your career, and the first word or two that comes to your mind is the answer. There's no wrong answers. Are you prepared for some word association?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Jason Kincaid.
Greatness.
Rip Rogers.
Brilliant.
Eric Draven.
Phenomenal.
Legendary Larry D.
I can't find a word to describe. Right offhand. Powerful.
Omega the Pitbull.
Ready. Hungry.
Congo Kong.
Amazing person.
Bubba James.
Also hungry.
Scarecrow.
Eager.
Final one. Gaston LaRue.
Up and coming.
All right, well, that concludes Word Association. And we have come down to the last few minutes in our show today, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the people listening today, if you want to plug and promote anything, social media, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite gas station, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, be on the lookout for Cash Jackson merchandise and stay up on the YouTube channel. Got more stuff coming in every week. You don't want to miss it.
Absolutely. And hopefully in 2021 we get to share a locker room again. It's been a little while since we've done that, but hopefully I will make it out that way and that'll happen. And I want to thank you very much for being on today. Always enjoy watching your work. We were thrilled to have you on the show today. Hopefully we'll get to do it soon one more time.
Yes, sir.
All right, fans, definitely if you've not seen Cash Jackson yet, remedy that. Go on YouTube, search him out. If he's on a show near you, run and buy a ticket to see him. He's phenomenal, doing great things. You're going to hear a lot about him in the next couple of years, I think. He's great at what he does. Jump on the bandwagon early. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Henry Godwin with us, the former WWE Tag Team Champion. A week from today, we'll be back with Daifula Dabashi making his return to the show. So make plans to be with us. Everybody stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Just before.